Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but whether our prophecies, they will cease. Whether our tongues, they will be stilled. Whether is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here ends the word of God.
Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for how you are at work and how in these moments you continue to stretch us, to soothe us, to challenge us, and to comfort us. These words do that once again as we hear them, as we receive them. Thank you for gathering us together as your people, as your church. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. The words of Scripture this morning are words that are quite familiar. In fact, maybe some of you have heard them at a wedding ceremony. It's become a favorite passage that's used at such ceremonies, and I have no problem with that at all. But the words, in their context here, at least, in the Scripture, in the Holy Word of God, and as God was working them through Paul, don't really talk, first of all, about marriage, about the marriage covenant. What they're really addressing is hard-headed, difficult, challenging, pain-in-the-neck Christians. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't point at anybody. Don't elbow anybody. Don't raise your eyebrows at me like, you know, like that. Anything like that. I already have a list of all those people. Not really. Okay, don't go out of church that, you know, pastor's got you on his list, so watch. This is speaking to a church that was already starting to fall apart, to actually collapse from the inside out. These words follow right after what Paul has been sharing to that church concerning spiritual gifts, and then what we talked about last week, that we're connected because of Jesus. Okay? You remember that twine that people were throwing around, holding on to, actually connected to one another? We're connected with something much more eternal, much more lasting, and much deeper. The love of God in our hearts because of what he has done for us through Jesus on the cross. Paul is reminding the early church of this because it was important that they understood that it wasn't about them. They were already starting to lose track of who had brought them together, of what the moving force was in their lives, and why they all of a sudden now had this hope for the future. And while they could understand that their lives were about something much bigger and deeper, more profound than anything that they could ever imagine before. And this was just not about kind of a self-centered worship that they'd done before whenever they would go to certain shrines for all the little small letter G gods that they'd worshipped, okay? And they would make sacrifices to those small letter G gods, and they would try to appease those gods, and all these different gods that they had, a god for this and a god for that and a god for this and a god for that. And can you imagine anybody worshiping a small letter G God like that, something other than God? Can you imagine somebody worshiping anything other than God, the Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe? Can you imagine somebody putting something else or something else before God? Well, yes, of course we can. It happens all the time. It happens regularly. It's not our job to judge. It's not our job even to beat ourselves up whenever we've done it. But it is a reminder in the scripture passage today of what God provides for us, okay? That all those other things can't. And that is, yeah, love. God is the only source. The only source. You might love somebody in your life, but God is the source that has provided that connection, that love that flows between both of you. God is the source of love that you experience as a part of the church, as a body of Christ. And Paul was emphasizing that this is not simply another virtue. You know, the Corinthian church was really wrapped up in who could speak in tongues and who brought the best food to communion and who brought the best wine and who was more spiritual and who was this and who was that. And Paul is saying, I'm not giving you another virtue to lift yourself up with. I'm reminding you that it's only because of God's love that you're here in the first place. And it's a love that's in the nitty-gritty, okay, of life. It's a love that is in the muck and mire of life. This kind of love is strong. It's powerful, and it's with us. It's with us when our hearts are breaking. It's with us whenever we receive bad news. It's with us whenever we're not sure if God loves us. It's with us with whatever challenges come. He says, love never ends. But all these other virtues that you've been lifting up, Corinthian church, all these other ways that you've been puffing yourself up, Corinthian church, they will pass away. Now certainly they're spiritual gifts, and they're important for the work of the body of Christ, and we need to be together in this, right, folks? Because if we're not together in this as the body of Christ, then we are certainly going to fall apart. So, God says, this gift, and this gift that only comes from me, is what will last forever. Love is spoken of so often in Scripture. One of the most famous passages, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Okay, love. It's the focus, that's the basis of that. It's something that we are called to understand as a building block. And we're called to practice it also. and we are called to offer it, not expecting anything in return. Did you ever start out with good intentions, trying to help someone? And then you got real frustrated with them or disappointed. Well, they never thanked me. They never sent me a card. Well, they walked right by me the other day. Love is not about expecting anything in return whenever we practice it. Think about how often God loves us. And we forget about Him. I mean, we all do it. We get busy. We get distracted with one thing or another. Quite honestly, some of the ways that we are distracted are, well, it's rather important, you know? Challenging news, things that we have to really deal with and focus on. But God still loves us. He continues to pour His love over us, no matter what. So whenever we are called to practice it as the church, and that's one of the things that Paul is saying here, you know, right at the end of chapter 12, right at the beginning of this reading, I will show you a more excellent way, okay? Paul's leading into it saying, folks, in other words, this is key. Pay attention to this. How are you practicing love? Doesn't mean that you have to go out immediately today and buy somebody lunch. I'm available, by the way, in case anybody. It's a wonderful way to show love to your pastor. But how are you allowing that life-changing presence that is God's love, that incredibly challenging force, that eternal working of God, how are you allowing that to mold your life? How is God calling you now to practice it, you see, to put it into place? At our communion table this morning, we understand that this is all because of God's love for us, really. This is something that is given for us, and we receive it. But today, as you receive the body and the blood, and I'd ask the communion stewards, those who are going to be serving, to come forward at this time, please. Those who will be serving communion, please come forward. Thank you. As you receive it today, remember this. As you're tasting of the body, receiving the blood, God loves me. And this is in a sustaining, real, holy way. Jesus, before Paul offered these words to the church at Corinth, in fact, before Paul was even a believer himself, Paul didn't even know God through Jesus yet. But Jesus broke the bread, and He said some amazing words. He said, "This is My body, and it's broken for you." And that's done in love. The ways of God sometimes are perplexing, aren't they? But God's love is pure and constant and never-ending. The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, Jesus poured out the wine, and He said, "This is shed for you and given for you for forgiveness of sins. As you taste of this, know that you receive My blood. And know that as you taste of this, you are forgiven." Now, the love of God that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is also something that's profound. It's kind of difficult to believe in a way or understand, but it's true. God loves us so much, He gave us Jesus so that we could be forgiven so that we can live in a whole new, open way, a way that practices love. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. After the communion stewards have received the elements of grace, they will go to their serving areas, and you are welcome to come forward to receive these elements. This is an open table. That means each and every person is welcome to receive the elements of grace under the direction of the ushers.